Trees of Scripture tell a story. And this winter, we are paying attention to the trees that serve as landmarks of important moments throughout the Bible. We have so far visited the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Genesis 3. And Noah's olive branch, a sign of hope following the disaster of the flood. And today we visit the tent of Abraham and Sarah in the shade of the great trees of Mamre, where three mysterious visitors come bearing a promise from the Lord. The journey of Abraham and Sarah is marked by trees from beginning to end. As a wandering herdsman without a place to call his own, the trees in Abraham's story are important and enduring landmarks that mark the stages of his journey. When he first came into the land of Canaan from Ur of the Chaldeans, following the call of God, Genesis 12 tells us that he traveled through the land as far as the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. And there the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give all this land." Later, when he had settled far to the south in Beersheba, Abraham planted a grove of trees to commemorate a treaty with his neighbors. It's the first instance in the Bible of a human planting trees. The cooling shade of the tamarisks and the well that he dug there made for a welcoming oasis on the edge of the desert. But the site that's most associated with Abraham and Sarah is the Oaks of Mamre in the vicinity of Hebron in the Judean highlands, overlooking the Rift Valley and the Dead Sea below. This is where Abraham settled when he parted ways with his nephew Lot. It's here that he pleaded with the Lord for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the valley below. And it's here in one of his last acts that he purchased a burial site, first for his wife Sarah and later for himself and his descendants, the fathers and mothers of Israel. An oak tree stands at this site today, where Abraham is said to have entertained angels unawares, the tree of promise. Abraham first received the promise when he was 75 years old, living in the land of Haran. It was there that the Lord had said to him, "Go from your country and from your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God called Abraham and Sarah to leave behind the life that they had known and follow him to a new land, where God intended to make of them a new nation, God's people who would be a light to the nations. A people blessed in order to be a blessing to others. There was only one problem. They had no children. And without a child, the promise would end with Abraham. Years passed. After receiving this word from the Lord at the age of 75, years passed, and still the Lord insisted that Abraham would be the father of many nations, with descendants as numerous as the stars. In confusion and in doubt, after more than a decade had passed, Abraham and Sarah opted to take matters into their own hands. And Abraham fathered a child with Sarah's servant Hagar, a decision that both of them owned, but that would have heartbreaking consequences for everyone involved. Still, the Lord insisted, it is Sarah who will have a son, who will inherit the promise. Which brings us to today's text. 99-year-old Abraham sat in the shade of the great oak where he pitched his tent for these many years. The heat shimmering off the rocky ridge that was part of the long spine of this land that the Lord had promised him and his descendants. It was the time of day in the desert heat when sometimes your eyes can play tricks on you. And Abraham looked up and he thought he saw three figures standing not far off on the road. The heat of the day was no time for travel, no matter how old you were. But when Abraham had indeed convinced himself that he wasn't imagining things, he hurried to welcome these travelers and invite them to rest for a while in the shade of the tree. The visitors were angels, of course, come on behalf of the Lord. In Eastern Orthodox iconography, they're even represented as the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But to Abraham, as far as he knew, they were simply guests. He offered them a little water for washing and a bite to eat. And then he proceeds to prepare a lavish feast. Abraham is presented as a model of hospitality, as the whole household erupts from its midday siesta into a flurry of activity. Abraham goes and he selects a calf. Sarah bakes bread. Servants are set to work preparing this lavish meal. The practice of hospitality, of welcoming a stranger, welcoming a guest, was an important practice in both Judaism and Christianity. The writer of Hebrews in the New Testament, referring to this story, says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." The tradition insists that this is a spiritual practice. Making room for others can be making room for God. And so Abraham's welcome of these three strangers on the road makes possible a most unexpected conversation. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they ask him, as she stood listening at the tent flap behind him. It's our first hint in the story that these were no ordinary visitors. How do they know her name? What, for that matter, did they want with her? Abraham had had more than one occasion to be afraid on account of his wife. And so it was probably with some trepidation that he answered them, "She's there in the tent." And then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now, Abraham had heard this before. In fact, the last time, his reaction to it was literally to roll on the floor laughing. "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old, he'd asked God. "Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Now, it may be that 100 is not much past middle age when you're going to live to 175, like Abraham did. Both Abraham and Sarah seem pretty spry for their age. But the Bible is clear that both of them, their days for having children were long past. And so Abraham had laughed. Sarah, too, laughed to herself as she listened at the entrance of the tent. A laugh that I suspect was not without its share of bitterness and cynicism. After all these years of disappointment, after I am worn out and my husband is old, will I now have this pleasure? She said to herself. The New Testament doesn't mince words considering their prospects. It says they were as good as dead. So Sarah laughed. But their laughter was cut short when, for the first time, Abraham and Sarah realized to whom they are speaking. Chapter 18, verse 13, it finally says that the Lord said to Abraham. The Lord said, "Why did Sarah laugh?" In Abraham's 100 years, the Lord had appeared to him in dreams and visions and in numerous experiences that he found it hard to explain, but never like this, in the garb of 3 dusty travelers sitting at his table under the great tree. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question the Lord asks Abraham and Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's what he wants them to chew on long after their meal is finished. In the New Testament, as we read at the beginning of our service this morning, Abraham and Sarah are models of faith. Hebrews 11 says that by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. In another place, in Romans 4, Paul calls him the father of all who believe, who never wavered in believing God's plan. Abraham and Sarah are models of faith. And yet, their story in Genesis is, shall we say, a little more nuanced. Abraham and Sarah are not people of superhuman faith, but they are faithful people who sometimes doubted, who were sometimes afraid, who sometimes took matters into their own hands, and sometimes even laughed at God's face. But here, on a sultry afternoon under the shade of a tree, in the midst of their doubt and laughter and a history of disappointment, Abraham and Sarah nevertheless make room for God. That's what makes them people of faith, because time and again they keep making room for God. As they open not just their home, but their hearts to entertain the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And in order to do that, in order to receive God's promise and the future that He has for them, they have to let go of their own agenda, their own attempts to take matters into their own hands, their backward glances at how they thought things were supposed to be. Make room for God to be who He is. For God to be God. I want to invite us into a time of prayer and response. As we ponder this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And so I want to encourage you to sit in a comfortable position. Hold your hands out in front of you. Or in your lap. Close your eyes. And take a deep breath. Relax your body and mind. And with your hands out in front of you, in God's presence this morning, consider, what are you holding on to? What are you grasping tightly today? What burdens or anxieties are you carrying that you were never meant to carry? Where have you been taking matters into your own hands or struggling to get by on your own strength? Hold these things for a moment in God's presence. Feel their weight. Now, if you are willing, turn your hands over, palms down, and release these things to God. feel them drop from your hands. As you say, Lord, I trust you with this concern. I trust you with this burden. And as you feel your hands empty, turn your palms up once again in a posture of receiving. Lord, I welcome you and what you have for me today. If you find that you have more to release and let go of, then turn your palms over once again and let it go. And you can turn your palms up in openness to God and repeat as many times as you need to. As we let go of those things that we've taken into our own hands and receive God's purpose and promise for us.